Who's afraid of summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
720 WGN, it's the Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman here with Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeville, Mary Sandberg, Steve Grzanich. Steve Cochran stuck on the roads, accidents all over the place, Mary Vandeville.
Yeah.
And Steve seems to be behind them, which is always trouble on a slick and slippery morning.
Yeah, this was not really that expected.
I didn't even know it was supposed to snow like this, and then when I woke up, I was like, whoa, this
is
happening.
I didn't either. I mean, I heard light dusting, light snow, and then all of a sudden walked out the door and went, oh, boy.
So there's a lot, just listening to your last traffic report, there are a lot of accidents on the roads today.
There's pretty much all of them, to the west mostly. Not really, to the north is pretty good, and to the south, but everything seems to be to the west. Okay, well,
there was one on the outbound Kennedy this morning.
Oh, the Kennedy one. Well,
yeah, that had just happened when I was going through.
There's one at Belmont that just got cleared inbound. Okay.
Ugh,
we had one
morning
in the express lanes. Yeah, it's going to be fun, and I hope those plows get out there.
Yeah. Well, for all the first responders who are cleaning those accidents up, and for the people stuck in the commute early, we got your back. We'll try to make it.
There's many with injuries as well. It's not looking good.
Not looking good. So, but Steve is stuck in that traffic, and he'll be here shortly.
He should be past it by now.
He'll be on his way. So we will continue with the show without him. We got lots to talk about this morning. Rebecca Sive's going to join us. Rebecca was in not too long ago. I feel like 2-3 weeks ago we were talking about her
Vote
book.
Her in.
Yeah, her book, Vote Her In. But she, you know, she reached out to me. We were talking about the idea of Chicago and the mayor's race and two women who are running for mayor in the runoff. And not just about, you know, how important it is to have representation at the highest forms of government, but also to talk a little bit about some of the code words that the press uses and what to watch out for when, what we talked to Rebecca about last time when we saw the early candidates for mayor being introduced and how many people in the media were sort of portraying them. So we'll talk about what we should watch out for the portrayals and the press that comes out of the mayor's race. That's coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. Also going to have breakfast with the Blackhawk. Brent Seabrook, the defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks, will join us. He's got a big event tonight. Is that his thing? He's got a...
Yeah, a bowling event.
Oh, yeah. That's what you always see, the kicker story on the news. And the Blackhawks come out to bowl.
It's called the Ice Bowl.
Have you guys ever done that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
We went to the first one.
Did you do well? Do you try to do
I didn't bowl.
Well?
I was with a different Steve that I worked for. He bowled. I did not bowl.
Oh, you just watched him?
Yeah, we watched. And actually, my husband
Nothing better than going to a charity event to watch somebody else do it.
My husband told me that he was at that event, too. He was not my husband then, nor were we anything, but he won it.
Oh.
He was the celebrity winner. And when he had to go take the group picture with the team, Brent Seabrook made fun of him for having makeup on. Because he had done, you know, TV work from there, so I think that's funny.
I just wonder how competitive you're supposed to be, you know, at the charity. If you're one of the celebrities that are there with the Blackhawks, do you bowl to win?
Or absolutely.
Sort of like, let's
those guys, sure, they're bowling to win. Why shouldn't you?
I think that's the one where Steve left with the bowling shoes and Patrick Kane called him out and said, you wearing those outside?
Yeah, right. In the elevator.
Steve will tell us how to do it, what the etiquette is. the celebrity bowling events.
Yeah.
But Seabrook's got one coming up. Also, Father Hurley's going to join us. I guess you'd call him the priest over at Father at Old St. Pat's in Chicago. He's a regular here in on the Cochran Show, and always a pleasure to have him in studio and talk to him coming up as well.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Top 666. First off, happy Fat Tuesday. Is that what you say, happy Fat Tuesday, or just say Fat Tuesday?
Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy. That's what you say.
That's
sorry.
What I
say. That's what you say. Let's get crazy. Next week, not so crazy. This week, get crazy. All right. The first mayoral poll is out. Has Lori Lightfoot trouncing Tony Preckwinkle? But the Chicago Teachers Union says the poll is, quote, trash. I was like when the teachers union gets in there with some,
sure,
some trash.
Trash.
But another big Chicago union has reversed course and decided to sit out this runoff election. Chicago Federation of Labor questioned both candidates on Monday and said the candidates are too similar on labor issues. That's got to be a blow to Toni Preckwinkle, just because she has been the union candidate and for one of the biggest umbrella unions to come out and say, no, there's no real difference. That's not good. Yeah. Next. Fast Eddie could be going back to prison. Former Alderman Ed Vidoliak is reportedly going to plead guilty to tax evasion charges. This is a reversal. He's alleged to have failed to pay taxes stemming from a multi-billion dollar settlement with tobacco companies back in the 90s. He was charged in 2016. This is a really strange case, and it's really hard to understand. But essentially, a law firm did the legal work when Illinois got the huge tobacco settlement back in the 90s.
Okay.
And for some reason, even though he didn't really work on the case, he got paid out $65 million to just be there.
Oh.
And he didn't pay taxes on that.
Okay.
And the question is, why did he? I mean, I don't even think that's really at the root of this charge. It's not about why he got the money. It's about why he didn't pay taxes on the money. But he got $65 million off of a multi-billion dollar deal because he's Fast Eddie. Not really sure, because it was a Washington State.
So something happened between 2016 and today.
No, in 2016 he said not guilty, okay. And then I think he had a partner in this, and the partner just got convicted.
Oh, okay.
And then he said, "Oh, geez, I saw how that played out. We'll pass.
We better say something
I mean, there's the highest maximum sentence here would be 5 years in prison. Vidoliak, of course, already been in prison, so the question is, does that factor into what a judge would do with him for evading taxes?
Does he get to keep a portion of that $65 million?
I don't know what happens if you spend it. He gets the $65 million. It's taxes on the $65 million.
It's like in his 80s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 80. I think he's 81, 82 years old.
That'd
be tough. Yeah. Next. Rush Hospital Systems reporting a data breach that could affect 45,000 patients. A vendor shared the info accidentally, I think. I couldn't figure that out. With an undisclosed third party. This info includes patients' names, addresses, social security numbers, and insurance information. There are conflicting reports on whether or not the breach included the patient's medical files. Read last night that it did, and then I read this morning that it did not. So, interesting. I think that'd be the one thing. At this point, you feel like your social security number is everywhere. Or is, you know, the idea being that, you know, you're not going to. But I would think that people might have a problem if they're like, we've got your medical file. You can look at whatever, you know, cholesterol medicine you're taking and use it against you in some form. They'll figure out a way to weaponize that.
We can't hire this guy. He's taking a lot of meds.
Yeah. Or the black market knows that you need some Simvastatin.
So all you're doing now, Justin, is just giving people more to worry about.
Hey, right,
like, there isn't enough already.
Hey, I didn't do the hack. The Rush Hospital System should protect
their but you're coming
files.
Up with reasons people should be worried.
That can't be the only one, right?
No.
A medical breakthrough in the making. A London patient seems to be cured of HIV. The virus, which affects 37 million people, has no cure. But a new study published today says new treatment has put the virus in remission. It's the second known case. The first, the Berlin patient, was cured of HIV 10 years ago. It's a very interesting move, but you have to ask the question, if 10 years ago they cured one guy and it took 10 years to cure the second, it's very interesting. But they're saying that this is in Nature Today, the journal, that this is a huge breakthrough, and this would be huge for HIV community.
Was it the same treatment, the same medicine?
It was a different. I think what happened is they cured the guy in Berlin, and then it didn't work again. And so they've been working for 10 years to find a way to do it, obviously, to cure, and they found it in a London patient. But the same that question has to apply. The question of whether or not is it going to work past this one patient, but
plus I always feel like Magic Johnson, whatever he's been doing is it's like
money,
money cures everything.
He just rubs $100 bills on that HIV, and it all works out. Next, Food Network star and chef Kat Kor. Did you see this story, Mary?
I did. Yes, we were a big.
She used her social media to blast the Chicago restaurant Alinea after a reservation snafu over the weekend. She allegedly flipped off the staff. And then went to Instagram to burn, sick burn, the five-star restaurant. Alinea responded with proof that it was on her, and she has since deleted her post. Nick Akonis, the one of the co-owners of Alinea, he says he's got receipts, he's got video, he's got all this kind of stuff that shows her acting irresponsibly. I guess this comes down to she wanted a reservation on Saturday. They could only give it to her Friday, and she said, I'm going to show up Saturday anyway.
Yeah.
Like one does.
Throwing her weight around. Well, if you're a Cat Cora, you think you can get into...
Sounds like a move my wife would do.
I was going to... Well, see, I was thinking you, but...
Or me. I've done it.
Right.
Now, substitute five-star restaurant with Shady Improv Club, I'm all over that move. I'm showing up at Saturday night going, hey, I'm here. You don't know me? I want a $5 ticket and I want for free. You know, no, but Cat Cora, I guess she had the, I guess she blamed this on an assistant because they
oh,
said.
Oh, sure. Always take down the assistant.
I'm just saying the assistant maybe needs to work the schedule more. Cat, chef, we've got Friday, but no, Saturday's just show up. I gotta go. I'm so scared.
Cat thinks she can get in wherever she wants.
Well, she learned a lesson.
Yep.
A Chicago lesson. All right. Lastly, Michael Reinsdorf sat down with the Tribune to talk about the state of the Bulls franchise. The takeaway, Dave, he says he stands behind Gar Pax and he can't understand why people think they're doing a bad job.
He is the president of the Bulls, runs the team, and so I don't think this is very surprising. I mean, they are his two top basketball executives, right? And if he didn't feel they were doing a good job,
they'd be gone.
They wouldn't be in that job.
I guess fans just want some sort of accountability because we have, obviously we know we're in a rebuild, but this rebuild is going pretty slow. It's by NBA standards.
Well, the one thing I would say is that he hasn't been all that public a figure over the years. I mean, you haven't heard him speak that often publicly. And I think that when you talk about accountability, it's having whoever it is calling the shots, whether it's John McDonough or whether it's Tom Ricketts or Theo Epps, having them come forward and talk about the
team,
right?
I guess it's good.
And from that standpoint, at least you get the idea there's a reason behind it, even if you disagree with the moves.
Right. I think they need to work on rebranding Gar Forman and John Pax. And the Gar Pax, I don't like that.
Well, and he took issue with that.
Yeah, they hate that. Yeah.
I know. It sounds like something like you'd buy at a vape store. You know, it's a Gar Pax.
Well, it's like...
Yeah, it's like a new e-cigarette.
Well, what was the Brad Pitt, Angela Jolie, didn't they? Or
did they have...
What,
have
a, like a combined...
Oh, you want to make it like a J-Lo, Ben Affleck?
That would be Gax? I don't know.
Gapax?
Pax Orman. Start with Pax for Pax Orman. Or?
Yeah, Paxar. Paxar. All right, that's your top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's got to be my favorite back and forth with any Kid of the Week. Kid of the Week we just finished up our last season. I think it was season 12. And Mary, we start back up next week with new kids. We don't have a kid today.
We don't have a kid today, right?
Blame it on the cold. Blame it on the traffic. Yeah. How about that? Blame it on the...
Well, we had the Brothers Nuts kids, which we all ordered the nuts.
Right.
And they were good. I have the spicy basil pumpkin seeds. Those were... I got the bigger bag, and that was pretty much a two portion.
You didn't share the nuts with us.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I got them delivered at home, Mayor, ate them at
home. Sure you did.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Sure.
I think Steve ordered a case of those as well. I don't know what happened to his nuts.
Steve mentioned that he was...
They're stuck in traffic.
He mentioned that he was going to buy the staff. He said, you know...
Yeah,
like,
he did. I remember that.
He ordered them because I watched him do it in the studio that
he
day.
He asked us what we all wanted. He didn't ask me, but I remember...
Now, this is right after he said he was going to get us all cars with the bows on them.
Yeah.
Remember this,
yeah.
like, at
yeah.
Christmas time? We're going to get
the auto show, yeah.
The auto show, right.
Empty gesture.
So how do, for as we get ready for season 13 of Kid of the Week, how do kids, because it's a nominating process. We don't do it where we scour the internet looking for kids who did great things. This is, you have to nominate these kids.
Yes. You go to WGNradio.com/contests and click on the Kid of the Week link. Or you can send me an email. If you've got a kid, I can help facilitate the actual form to msandberg@wgnradio.com.
And I do love, the nominations. When
I take
that
last week. The Brothers Nuts were 2 weeks ago. Last week was Chase. Chase hung up on Steve.
Yeah,
when Steve got a little feisty. Chase right. just went up ahead and hung up on him.
He's like, it's too early.
Yeah.
I got math homework.
Too early for this shtick. I'm going
to
hang up.
But what's great about it is you get an opportunity to write why you think that the kid that you're nominating should be Kid of the Week. And that is always the best part about it for me is to read how passionate somebody is, whether it's a relative or a friend, to try and highlight and showcase the work that these kids are doing. It's impressive, but it's also emotional in the way that you're like, this is you could tell, you can feel it radiating off the page that these people are serious about these kids.
Yeah, and just so people know, it is amazing when we meet some of these kids that are doing things like those Brothers Nuts. They started their own company. They lost their dad to cancer. Like, that's an incredible thing. But also equally incredible is a kid that just might help you out at home, mm-hmm. or a kid that maybe was struggling at school that is doing a little better. It doesn't have to be a large feat.
If my son emptied the dishwasher like we've asked him to do, that would be okay? That would be an accomplishment.
Yeah.
That would be something in our household that we would be like, you know what, I need to go right to the internet and write up that Miles did the chores we asked him to do.
That counts, though. Miles is a unique situation, so he's not eligible.
So every time that he goes and puts his plate in the kitchen when he's done, Steve will call him and interview him for 7 minutes.
Well, I do like dishwasher talk, so that falls into a category.
Well, that's a good transition. Pete Zerman's in studio. Talk about his dishwasher. We were talking about this the other week. You need a new dishwasher.
Because this is the second new dishwasher on the show. Dave Bennett got a new dishwasher last week, year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometime
this has nothing
year.
To do with you accidentally, in quotes, pushing your wife over the open dishwasher. Did that break it, or was that something completely different?
I did not push my wife over the dishwasher.
Accidentally.
Yeah, with a knife in her hand. Did you still have a bruise from that? Gee, that was nasty.
Yeah, yeah. Our kitchen is kind of small, and I do the dishes, and my wife was cooking, and I like to hover around her while she's working.
As Steve pointed out, you don't do the dishes. You load and unload the dishwasher prior to your dishwasher breaking.
I'm one of those weird people that clean the dishes. Yeah. I can't put a dirty dish in the dishwasher.
I do the same thing, and yeah. I do think, Mary, that is doing the dishes. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
Come on, give us something, Mary.
Come on.
Don't take away my very few things that I do around the house.
Pots and pans are doing the dishes.
Yeah.
That's doing them.
So she was cooking. I was loading up the dishwasher, and I had kept the door down, and then when I was hovering around her, she kind of backed up and fell over. The dishwasher.
She had a knife in her hand.
Tell me. Knife in the hand.
Don't tell me. Tell the investigators. Go ahead.
So tripping over the dishwasher kind of lodged the door out of its socket. I don't know if that's the correct term for a dishwasher. The socket. The dishwasher
looks
socket.
It's out of the socket. The guy came over. He's like, "You got the door out of the socket."
Yeah.
So, I can't believe Molly broke the door.
I know, right? Right.
You guys just redid a bathroom. Now you got to
get a
dishwasher.
New one.
So we actually like had a guy come in to look at it, and he was like, "No."
First, Pete tried to fix it, which was futile. You're no handyman.
I'm like,
here.
We can lodge it back in. I'm sure.
None of the electronics worked, so what was the problem?
And a guy came in and said, "Yeah, you know, like this can't be." It'll cost you $600 to repair it. So we're like, it's time to get a new dishwasher. I didn't like the dishwasher anyway. It didn't clean to my liking. And a lot of times I'd have to, you know, I'd clean the dishes before I put them in, and then I'd clean them after they got out. You know, I'm like, what am I doing here?
I guess you really were doing dishes then.
Right. So I asked Mary, I'm like, you know, like, what?
As anyone would do, they come to me with an appliance question.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, well, I'm in the market for a new dishwasher. You know, I believe you've mentioned Aft before. Mm-hmm. I've heard
Did
about
she
this.
She volunteered to go shopping for you.
You know, basically, Mary, I mean, if he looked at the timeline from the time he said, I'm going to be getting a new dishwasher, and the time I sent the email copying him to Steve Shapiro about Pete's in the market for a dishwasher, it was within seconds.
It happened. Yeah, I got a response from Steve at an app from in 30 seconds.
Yeah, and that's an exciting thing for Mary.
It was so exciting, Mary, because I too want a new dishwasher, and I've been jealous of Dave's for like 6 months. But I copy Pete on the email, and I say to Steve, hey, Steve, this is Pete. He's the one that has the eggplants getting dropped off in the yard, because I didn't know if he knows him by name on the show.
That's your calling card.
Eggplant Pete.
I'd like to introduce you to Pete. It's Eggplant Pete. You know, the guy's getting the eggplants dropped off. Anyway.
And so I said, he's in the market for a new dishwasher, and I connect him. And then, I, you know, 10 minutes goes by, I send Pete a text. I'm like, I sent the email to Steve. He goes, oh, I know. I took you off the conversation to talk about the dishwasher. I'm like, this is like what I live for.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do, right?
No, I didn't want him to take it. I want to see which one they're picking. I know, but
he was saying, I know Mary does want all this junk.
Right, that's what
stuff.
I was thinking.
We're talking about a political guest for this show. Take me off that email. Appliances being bought for your kitchen. Keep me on that. So
I didn't feel like you wanted to be involved in scheduling and things like billing.
So they came out to get
blink of an eye, he's getting a dishwasher delivered on Saturday.
Nice. On Saturday.
Nice.
I was like, oh, this is great. And so I was thinking, I'm like,
he's let the dirty dishes
I've let
up.
The dishes stack up. And it's really bothering me because I hate an empty or a dirty dish. One fork in there, I need to put it somewhere.
So you know that bottle with the blue liquid that's under the sink, probably? You know, if you put a little of that in those, you can get rid of those dirty dishes.
Why aren't you manually washing dishes? You're just waiting? You're like,
I was waiting for the new one to come in. So they're stacking up.
Logical.
They're stacking up a little bit.
Okay, not even I did that.
And it kind of smelled, you know, so the kitchen was kind of gross. So I'm like, Saturday, perfect to come right like early in the morning.
So this was last Saturday.
This past Saturday, yeah. And Apt is great too. They send you a text, like we'll give you a window, and then you could track. So I'm like watching.
Oh, that tracker is the greatest thing. I just got that for my new oven. I was tracking. I'm like, oh my god, Dad, they're at the house right before mine.
Right, and then I wonder what they're getting.
Right, that's what I wanted to have a picture of the appliance.
Yeah, I'm like, I wonder what they're getting. I wonder how long this is going to take. This is really
exciting.
Because
if they're just dropping down a TV, you're like, oh yeah, they'll be here soon. But if they're putting together something more involved, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. You're tracking, and it's just like, it's a wonderful day because you're excited, you're anticipating a new appliance coming in, an old terrible one going out,
right?
And then they showed up. I'm like, oh, meet the guy Edwin.
Please tell me this was easy.
Well,
that's the worst. Like I got a microwave changed out because they came from Home Depot. They were in 5 seconds. They slid it out. I didn't even realize that's how it worked. They were like, hit a button, this thing slide out. They slide the other one in. They're like, beep, beep, started. And they're like, see ya. And I was like, this is how it should be.
Yeah.
That was not the case.
No.
And of course.
By no fault of Apt.
No. It's like every time a plumber comes to the house, well, who did this?
Yeah,
who's the guy who did this? Oh, right. Yeah, got you. That's your line. Okay. Well, this is not set up the right way.
And we anticipated this to be just like taking the dishwasher out, putting it in, and my wife, who like really cares about dishwashers and house things.
How it looks.
And how it looks. Yeah. She was like, I'm so confident that me, Pete, can take care of this on his own. That I'm going to go out and run some errands.
Oh, so you're stuck.
So I'm doing it, but I'm like,
this is your front man, Pete.
So it didn't
Pete,
work.
Who when things get a little tense or stressful, he folds. He's the least capable person you want, and then he just doesn't talk. So I can only imagine how this was going down.
His face gets all red.
Yeah,
he's not talking. They're like, there's a problem here. Can we come back at 1 o'clock, sir? Sir,
Just leave the house.
Just frozen, sir.
Oh. Dogs all over.
So what happened? It just was technical, like they couldn't get the water hooked up?
So he comes in, and I'm like, hey, Edwin, nice to meet you. He hands me the Apt popcorn and the spray. I'm like, this is great.
Free gifts always from Apt.
So he comes in, he takes the tape measure out, and he's like, oof, I don't think the new one's going to fit.
Now, you live in like an 1800 house or something, right?
It's 1908.
Okay, yeah. So there's some things that have been retrofitted.
Yeah, and the people that lived there before us kind of did everything half-assedly, you know, like they just didn't do, they could have spent a little more money probably, but decided to
so
do it on their
fit,
own.
So it doesn't fit. So what now? You have to go back and get a different one? Or what do you do in
well,
that situation?
He gave me a bunch of options. He was great. He was like, you know, there's a piece of trim that's like over the dishwasher that extends through the cabinet, kind of. And he's like, you know, he could take that off and I could probably put it in. I could probably fit it. But, you know, that's going to destroy the... And Molly's not there. So I'm calling Molly. She's not answering. I'm like, well, I'm like, what am I going
to
do?
I'm not allowed to make decisions like this.
This trim call.
Right. A trim call.
That's not a decision you want to make, right?
Yeah. No. Like, I'm going to destroy the cabinet to put this new dishwasher in. It's not going to work. So, like, I call Molly and I'm telling her what's going on. She's like, put him on the phone.
Right. He was not even able to convey.
I couldn't even relieved of your duties.
Why didn't you call Mary?
Right. I would have been second in line to Molly if Molly didn't answer.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Can we pause your story and leave a cliffhanger so that
ooh, a cliffhanger. All right,
6:56. Thanks everybody for actually doing the show. And one of the strangest commutes ever. More on that coming up. But add 45 minutes to an hour on getting to work this morning.
No.
All right. So when we last left Dishwashergate, your dishwasher doesn't fit?
Dishwasher does not fit. It is too tall for the space that we have. I have to make a decision on some trim.
Can I ask a question? Did you measure?
We measured the width.
No.
And everything was fine.
It was too high.
The height.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was too high.
How much over the number? Like over the counter?
Like an inch and a half, maybe. Molly talks to Edwin, who's like really great, talks her through it, and she's like, all right, I guess we'll think about it. So Edwin leaves and he's like, you know, I'm sorry, I gotta take the popcorn.
The free popcorn and spray. They have to take their gift back.
Take the gift back. I'm like, oh my God.
Wait a minute. He took the popcorn?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then
I don't think the App brothers know he took the popcorn.
In the meantime,
he's just doing his job.
Yeah,
though,
he was great.
Or he was hungry.
In the meantime, Molly comes home and is like, oh, this is just a little piece of trim that we just take off. We can just like, we can take this thing off and have them put it back in.
So she took the trim off.
So she took the trim off.
An executive decision.
Yeah.
So in like 15 minutes, he sent App away. Then he's calling the app back.
And then I was like, I call the guy. I'm like, you know, hey I'm sorry. Do you mind coming back on like after you finish your next thing? And he's like, yeah, you know, like we got a bunch of things lined up. We'll come back at the end of the day. So they come back like at 5 o'clock. And
thrilled to be back, I'm sure.
he convinced me that he was happy.
Nothing
to be
but
back.
A pro, right?
Yeah. And there's the issues with the back of the dishwasher. It wasn't hooked up correctly. He needed to put an outlet in back there. He was there till like 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
I know.
Trying to put this dishwasher in, and finally he gets it in, and we're like, I'm just sitting in the next room, like, you know, like
getting more uncomfortable as every minute passes,
like sweating. I'm like, should I go in there and like see how they're doing?
How often do you go in to see how they're doing?
Yeah, like
what's the protocol? Every 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Every
well,
hour?
You have that man moment where you don't know anything, but you still feel like you should go stand there with your hands on your hips and look over the situation.
Yeah. You got to throw in something, you know, like what are you using? A stick? Is that a 6-inch?
That's a Pfizer valve if I've ever seen one.
And he also told you that
the
other dishwasher wasn't performing at peak because it wasn't hooked up correctly.
Yeah, it wasn't hooked up correctly.
So they did. They did the move. Huh, who hooked this up?
But I missed part one. Wouldn't the answer have been to get a different dishwasher? Like once you realized it didn't fit?
No, because...
Well, we looked at smaller dishwashers and they're a lot more expensive.
Oh. They fall into that weird custom-y size.
Yeah. So
you got to move.
You gotta
sell the house.
There's just a lot of little, like nothing is easy.
Something tells me if Molly was not there, that might have been what Pete's move was.
He would have sold the house.
Selling the house.
I just want to know if you fed the guy dinner.
Oh, yeah.
No. Not
what?
Yet.
He didn't offer
you had popcorn.
Food.
Yeah.
But he did bring back
he brought back the popcorn and the spray and he laughed. He's like, yeah, here it is. And we had the popcorn at night to relax.
So does it fit now?
It fits. He did a wonderful job.
So again, it's a happy apt ending, like they all are.
They're the best. And I emailed Steve Shapiro like right after Edwin left because I was like, this guy He's here at 8 o'clock at night. Like, what time is he supposed to be home? I want.
You gave Edwin the silent treatment out of awkwardness because you're awkward, and instead you emailed the boss to be like, Edwin is so great.
Did you tip him more than the cost of the dishwasher? I hope.
I think we looked up the proper tip and then we doubled it.
There you go.
And then Molly, living on the edge, she said, "Let's not rinse one dish and put it in and see if it cleans it." The new dishwasher.
Yeah, and that I don't like. It's really hard for me to do.
I'd leave the house at that point. I'd say, "Molly, I love you, but this is too much stress for me."
But yeah, they were wonderful. It was really to have him come in and like not realize what's going on, and he had to like saw the back of it. There was a lot of stuff going. It wasn't just in and out.
It's like a MASH unit.
Yeah.
So they saving him at the front line.
Edwin was a great.
Ah, so it's a problem with the valve. I gotcha.
And by the way, your wife apparently is Lou Anne Manfredini. I mean, if she's tearing off stuff from the counter.
She knows. I am very lucky because...
Twice the man you'll ever be, one of those incidents?
She knows everything that I don't, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
If you knew twice what I knew, it wouldn't be that impressive. All right, we got to come back with the news in a second, and then this goofy commute right after this in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
You know, I've been driving to work for, my whole life, but in Chicago for 26 years. And Mary Vanderbilt, this morning may have been the strangest commute I've ever seen because the roads really weren't slippery. And yet I passed 8 accidents, most of them driving into the median, you know, the wall.
Yeah.
On the way in. 8 accidents. I still am kind of perplexed. Now, some of these were cars that, you know, probably aren't winter cars. There was a Corvette.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they're all
slip-offs. One car. Yeah. But I just don't know how people kept running into each other.
I don't think anybody really expected this morning. I mean, I didn't hear too much about just light snow. I heard there was going to be light snow, and then I came out light snow, and the roads weren't that bad.
I didn't hit a single slick spot coming in. Did you guys?
I really didn't. The roads, it was a little tough to see in some of the lanes.
I was going 8 miles an hour most of the way, so how would I know? I don't know how people kept running into each other on a day that really was as minor weather-wise as you could probably get.
That's the only thing.
Now, if you're in an accident somewhere and you're listening to the show, I'm totally behind you, and I'm sorry.
And we're still getting a few. It's starting to get better now. I mean, it is really improving now, but I think it just caught a lot of people off guard.
Mary, do you see that the times, because there are all these accidents so early in the morning, when the real commute starts in the 7 o'clock hour, are they already bigger than they should be, or they come down to normal?
They come down to normal somewhat, but there was a lot of traffic this morning when I drove in, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's always, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, remember I told you about Tuesday?
Tuesday's the day.
The busiest travel day, always. There's a lot of trucks on Tuesdays. I don't know why.
There was a lot of trucks
on the Eisenhower this morning. It was crazy. And I thought, wow, it's so busy. And, you know, it was snowing. And so I think it just, you know, one thing led to another. And people have been having so many problems with Metro lately that a lot of people are driving instead. And that's just my personal opinion. I mean, because, you know, with the cold,
And it's Fat Tuesday. So people are...
So you're saying people are punchki blind?
They decided, you know what, I'm going to work early.
They're punchki blind. You know what it could be? It could be they're eating a punchki, they squeezed it, they get squirted in the eye, and then they run into a wall.
Just saying, it could be a theory. That's a theory.
Normally at 5 o'clock in the morning, 20 minutes from Franny Eisenhower, 20 minutes from Mannheim Inn is slow. It was 52, I think, at 6 o'clock this morning.
That's terrible.
So, I don't know, tack a half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe
17
an hour.
17 is the normal.
Right, so my point being, you know, you're an extra 30, 45 minutes, it should be a blizzard out there.
See, I thought you would have passed it. I thought you were going to miss it.
No, I got all of it.
Sorry.
Every single bit of it.
Does there,
at least you weren't in it.
Curious, do you, is it 290 or bust for you? For people coming from the western suburbs, is there no way, like,
it's better.
Going local? You can't go local from there.
No, I mean, you
don't want to take Roosevelt. It's
takes forever.
Yeah, 900 stoplights. If you go over to the Stevenson, it's
too far.
A little wide.
Yeah, but, for Steve and I, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I've done that, you know, where you hear that it's a mess.
What about you guys, when you're coming from the north side, if you find out that the Kennedy is all botched up, do you do you have alternate routes at that point, or you just have to deal with it?
No, that's why we don't really. Dave. You can take.
Well, Dave takes a chopper in.
Yeah.
Well, you have more access chopper? To the
sports chopper 9.
But I still got to take the Kennedy once.
Have to take the Kennedy. Yeah.
But I have gotten off the Kennedy when everything's been shut down and taken like Elston or Clybourne.
Yeah. Irving Park. Over to the lake sometimes. Yeah. But no, basically. Yeah. I live, a mile off of the Edens, so I have to get on the Edens.
Well, I mean, L.A., New York, it's the same thing. If you take the Lincoln Tunnel into the city every day, you take the Lincoln Tunnel, if you go over the George Washington Bridge, it's going to take you longer. Here, it's the same deal as well. There's been times where I've cut over to the Stevenson, and it's got to be a disaster because you're talking about an extra 20 or 30 minutes. So, and a lot of people say, well, stop whining, move closer to the city.
Who says that?
Why don't you take the train? I love taking Metro. I would do it.
Train doesn't run.
But at the time I leave my house, there's no trains.
Yeah. The first one's at 5, and I got to get here a lot earlier than that. Yeah. Somebody just texted they saw some black ice on 294 at the Hinsdale Oasis, and I believe that because there are a lot of crashes right at 294 at that, where 294 meets with the Eisenhower, and there were quite a few crashes.
Yeah, I mean, the Eisenhower from 294, 290, 88,
that whole stretch.
From there all the way into, Damon. It was equal opportunity. You'd crank it up to 20 miles an hour for a couple of minutes, and then you'd get another accident.
It's the whole way. It's whole way in now. It's backed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is Tuesday. That's what happens. I always go back to that.
Just keep on coming back to it.
That's true.
It's just weird, Tuesday being the busiest day. Anyway, thank you guys again for coming to work. Coming up here, the most valuable person on the planet. Plus, I got to tell you this story. There's a very weird twist in the $1.5 billion winning Mega Millions lottery ticket. The winner came forward yesterday. And if not for an act of kindness accepted by the person behind this person, we don't know if it's a male or female, the person who accepted the act of kindness would have probably gotten the winning ticket. So think of it this way. Justin, you're behind me. You're in a hurry. I've heard a conversation. You're in a hurry. I go, listen, man, I'm not that big a hurry. Jump ahead. Ugh. I get the winning ticket because I'm now in your spot in line.
That's like a proverb.
So that's like one of the lotto tickets, right? One of the lottery scratch-off ticket commercials has that happen where the wife gets it.
Yeah.
It just feels like that's like an old, like an Aesop fable. And then he walked to the side, and a new guy came to get the lotto ticket, he won.
I don't think letting somebody take your place in line is worth $1.5 billion. I think that's overpayment for kindness.
That's crazy, man. Just put a weird lute behind it or a ukulele. Story of a lotto ticket.
If, in fact, you think that this person, deserves all of it, they did get penalized to some extent because they waited 5 months to come in. If you had taken the winnings on day one.
Oh, it goes down?
You put it in just very conservative investments. I saw the story yesterday. They gave up $65,000 a day in interest for 150 days. That's almost $10 million. I guess now, this is why we can't have nice things. Suddenly you have $900 million, and you're just going to let $10 million go away.
Yeah, that's toilet paper.
So the next time somebody offers you their place in line, even if it's a jewel, don't take it.
Don't take it.
Just continue to whine behind them.
The moral of the story is get yours.
Yeah. I hope you kids are listening. Most valuable person on the planet next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 726, and we go to the most valuable person on the planet. Do we have Eric standing by? Eric Catalano from Hecker, Illinois. Is it Hecker or Heckler? It'd be better if it was Heckler. And like you drove into town and people would go, you call that a car? It's no car. It's a terrible car. Hey, nice haircut. Heckler, Illinois. No, it's Hecker?
Hecker, yeah.
It's Hecker, yeah.
Where's Hecker?
It is a little bit south of Belleville. It's about 30 miles southeast of St. Louis.
I know where Belleville is.
You have a tattoo shop.
I do.
It's called Eternal Ink.
Yep.
What is the hot tattoo right now? What do people want?
Oh, a lot of the big tattoos right now are going to be the under boob.
The under
the sternum. The sternum. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, but between the breasts, below that area, that triangle, kind of above the abdomen, is really the hot area right now.
I bet it's because you can have it, but then in professional situations, you can hide it. You know, like, whereas if there's something on your shoulder or something, you know, you can see it. But
is that why people get tattoos in some cases, to hide blemishes or something they don't like?
Well, that's why a lot of people go to me, but I don't know if that's the case for everybody else.
But you must talk to other people in the industry. I mean, you know, it's almost like a different form of cosmetic procedure, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a big field of that. Yes.
Okay. What's a tattoo that you've given before we get to the story here? What's a tattoo that you've given or agreed to do, or maybe one you turned down because it was really a stupid idea?
Well, that's happened quite a few times, but
I know people come in, they have their ideas for whatever they have, but have you actively tried to talk somebody out of one?
I actually had a guy come in and try to get raindrops tattooed on his head to kind of make his head look like it was wet.
Oh, geez.
Which was so ridiculous that I couldn't even imagine it, so I told him no.
Why did he want his head to look wet?
I have no idea. I didn't even want to go into that.
Now, do I have this right? When people come in, if they're drunk, you tell them you can't do it?
That's correct.
Is that usually a Friday night, Saturday night thing?
It happens, I would say, semi-frequently, yeah.
What's your favorite tattoo you've ever done?
Well, I'm really fond of this fingernail tattoo right now.
That looks amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
This is why you're on the show. You like the setup?
Right. Yeah.
All right, so explain the fingernail tattoo and give us the background here, because you have a personal tie to it.
Okay. So I've been doing realistic, hyper-realistic nipple areola tattoos on post-mastectomy breast cancer patients who have survived and have a bare spot on their new breast now.
And people don't know. If you don't know, with breast cancer, when you have a mastectomy, there's sometimes you can get a nipple saving procedure where they go under to do the if you do a rebuild or an implant. But you almost always then, if there's not enough blood, the nipple can shrivel up and fall off, or they just take it all off altogether. So you have no nipple, and as a woman with breasts, you kind of feel incomplete without one. So a nipple tattoo is like a really big difference in how you feel about your body.
Sure. Post-mastectomy. I never thought about it, but it makes total sense.
And so I have been kind of locally famous for those for many years, and have been doing those for a long time. So as you go down that road, you, as an artist, you get really used to using skin tones and flesh tones and highlights and low lights to make realistic looking shadow, stuff like that. To try to make the nipple areola look as realistic as possible. So one of my artists, Kirsten, his friend's dad, Mark Bertram, came in my shop one day jokingly and showed me his nubs on his fingers and said, "Hey, if I set an appointment with you, think you could just tattoo some fingernails on here for fun?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm sure I could." And he's like, "All right." So he set an appointment, came in, and he goes, "Yeah, I just think it'd be kind of funny if there were some fingernails tattooed on these nubs." And I said, "All right, well, I'm going to do the best I can, though. I'm going to try to see how realistic I can make it look instead of making it a joke."
Right.
And that's what I did. And so it only took me about 11 minutes, which everybody can't believe.
And you'd never done that before, that particular idea.
I'd never done it before, no. And when I wiped the skin, the ink off the skin, there was other people watching because it was funny. Everybody's mood immediately changed whenever I wiped the skin away. And they revealed the tattoo. It was so lifelike that even Mark just kind of almost gasped and looked in the mirror like several times and And everybody was just blown away by the realistic look of those. And I think almost including myself, even though I'm the one that did it. But it was a pretty amazing moment. And then from there, I took a few pictures. And I even thought to myself, as I was photoing it, I was like, this is so lifelike. I'm like, it's almost crazy, kind of.
Well, the pictures, the picture's amazing. We'll post a picture or a link to the story that has the picture, because the picture's really amazing. And every construction guy that's ever had an accident, or Mayor Emanuel for that matter, ought to be coming to you for fingernails.
Well, they all are.
You're the fingernail guy now.
Yeah, that's why I set up. Well, you know what? It's a nice switch from the nipple guy to the fingernail guy. So I'll take it. But so I have this picture in my phone, and I put it, do this app that puts the side by side of the before and after, yep. And I throw it on Facebook, and then me and my son walk into Walmart, and we do a whole grocery shopping episode. So I'm in Walmart for at least, you know, an hour and a half, and I forgot I even put the picture on Facebook. And I don't get any reception in Walmart, so my phone kind of shuts off in there. Well, I come back out of Walmart, and I get on my Facebook, and I just couldn't even believe it. It was thousands of likes and all these shares, and I'm getting contacted by radio stations and stuff, and it was pretty wild. And it's been like that ever since.
Well, you're good at your job, man. You're an artist, and I assume your favorite commercial is the AT&T wireless commercial where the guy goes, yeah, the ink will be okay. Because
mm-hmm.
Okay is not good enough, is it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, okay is not good enough.
All right, if I want to come in for fingernails, can I get a family discount?
Well, I do the service for free. That's the craziest part of everything.
I'd pay it.
Yeah.
That's really kind.
It really is kind.
Yeah, these are life-changing things.
There is a...
Well, that's what I say about it. So, like I said, it took 11 minutes. And then when we're talking about the areolas, it takes me about that much per nipple, or per areola nipple, so maybe 22, 25 minutes.
You have a very interesting job.
Yeah.
If people want to get on Facebook and see these pictures, or, you know, as I said, we'll link them, but following you on Facebook, what do they do?
Well, my personal Facebook is full, but they can follow it, or they can go to the fan page, which is the same. It's under the same name, so you might not even be able to tell the difference. It's all under Eric Catalano, or they can follow Eternal Ink Tattoo Studio.
Great. Nice job.
If they just go to the website, there's links to everything, and the website is eternalinktattoostudio.us.
Great.
All right. Appreciate you being on. You are the most valuable person on the planet, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Thank you, guys.
I'm sure Eric does this as well, but there's a tattoo artist out in Oswego who is working on covering up some of my brother's tattoos, who also specializes in doing free tattoos for kids that have been trafficked. And kids that have been in gangs, and they want their gang symbols erased, because that's a new part of the art to get rid of tattoos. It's a process, takes several times, and it takes the right person to do it. But I believe the place is called Ink 180.
He was on the show, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. All right, headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 745 now. Washington news this morning. The Democrats doing the right thing, or have they lost their mind? The eternal questions of politics.
Are you talking about the list?
The 81 indictments.
My favorite tweet off of that was Stephen Colbert's show, which said, the lineup for Coachella sucks this year. They put the list of the 81 people.
They're all going to Coachella?
No, that they were the bands.
That's the band name, yeah.
I just thought that was great.
Yeah, it's funny it is. Rebecca Sives here. Rebecca's book, Vote Her In, is what we were talking about. Doesn't seem like that long ago. And you were such a good guest, we've asked you to come back very quickly. How are you?
I'm good, and thank you for having me.
Also, every day is Election Day. Is that yours as well?
It is. And, you know, it's funny you mention it, because that's what I was thinking as I was coming over here in the cab.
Every day is Election Day.
Yeah, right. At least in Chicago.
We used to talk about sports nonstop every day.
Right.
Now, if there's one thing Trump has changed, and I don't know if it's for better or for worse, is that everybody talks about politics now all day.
Yeah, true enough.
Hopefully learning something in the process and getting engaged. So we're going to have the first female African-American mayor, but first and foremost, another female guaranteed to be mayor for the first time in a long time. What's the significance of that?
It's historic for the whole country, and I think that, you know, before anything else, we should take pride in the fact that two women are going are in this race, that one of them is going to lead the third largest city in the country, that both are superbly qualified, you know, professionally and in terms of their experience. So I think, first of all, let's take heart in how far our country has come and how far Chicago voters have come.
And we could use a positive moment or two, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's were you surprised at the outcome?
I think I shared, you know, the view of a lot of people that there were several strong candidates and we just didn't know what was going to happen. But after I was surprised, as perhaps a lot of people were, I was also, for the reasons I said, absolutely delighted. It's a chance for us to learn and discuss and create a whole new path.
You know, I've already seen this hot take, and I've seen it in columns and other places, that will the historic notion or the moment that we're in,
right,
will it overshadow in the next month, mm-hmm, the issues and the serious things that need to be dealt with in the city of Chicago?
I doubt that. I think that one of the hallmarks of the campaign already is we've seen that both of them have put forth ideas on policy issues. I imagine we're going to see more of that as they try to draw the difference between their respective ideas for the city. So I think that's another thing that we can really take heart in. They're going to discuss crime. They're going to discuss education. They're going to discuss jobs. And to the extent that they have similar views, we'll know those. To the extent they have different ones, we're going to know that, too, and be able to evaluate. As it should be. Exactly.
What a concept. What a novel concept, right?
You can go to RebeccaSive.com. Rebecca, as you would expect, SIVE.com. Stick around a second, okay? And the book, again, vote her in. Get a couple of copies. You know who you are. You're careless. You'll lose one.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, time now for, we got to give away some Hawks tickets here. It's time for a Hawker riddle.
It's a very important
listen up
riddle.
To this Hawker riddle. Everybody, listen up very carefully. First,
if you're
going
to get
answer.
A pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play Arizona Coyotes on Monday, March 11th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing, for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. We're giving a second pair away today at 4:40, so thank you to Four Seasons.
Listen carefully and see if you know. His second city is Chicago, D.C., the capital he calls home. A chance to learn from Palmer and King. He won the prize called the Silver Dome. He calls pigskin as well as the rock and drinks from the Fountain of Youth. Well, just the Fountain of Youth. And does his job where it bears his name in his wild feline booth. Could be some of John DeCosta's best work.
Yeah, I think that's a
first correct answer.
All
yeah.
Right.
Dave, you have any idea?
No clue.
All right. First correct caller, 312-981-7200. We got a couple more minutes here with Rebecca Seif. We just learned off the air part of a podcast called Two Broads Talking Politics as well. So go ahead, download that and listen to it. This is the year of diversity. It seems like we talk about the year of the woman a lot.
Right.
But diversity in Congress and a larger female population in Congress than ever before. There's a CNN voter panel that was running this morning where there's several women. So we got four great female Democratic candidates. I'm picking one of them. Do we run the risk of voting specifically for the gender as opposed to voting for the best person that's out there? Or as a voter, do we go, that's my choice, I get to pick?
I think as a voter, we each get to pick. And I think that the lesson of this is that strong advocates for their causes are choosing to step in. And one aspect of the cause may be, you know, I'm a woman and I have these ideas about women and I hope you'll listen to them.
I think that's what's so exciting about the mayoral race here is that we don't have the woman against somebody, you know, the male. So we don't have to.
The old white guy.
Right. We don't have to do the Hillary versus Trump, I don't like her, you know, that type of thing, because we have two women. So we already know where that's off the table. So it's going to be interesting to watch the critics or, you know, the things they come up against since they're not being pitted up against the male. We've got two women here, so if people are going to say, oh, I don't want either woman because that's not my thing, or they'll be more focused on issue based criticism. Hope.
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head that we have this chance to talk about the issues. And as we were talking about a moment before, both of these women have thought about this. They have clear positions. They've been in public service for a long time in both cases. So I think we get to take a look at them. And I would say one other thing, which is I think that this also presents an opportunity, I hope, to look in particular at issues related to families and neighborhoods and to have them talk about crime and education and jobs and, here's what I'm going to do and here's my understanding, for instance, of, you know, moms and kids in this city and what I want to address.
Rebecca, we talked before about media bias. You'll see with different candidates, women candidates running for office, the highest office or maybe mayor of Chicago. But when you're talking about the president or the mayor, mm-hmm. there's little code words that are used. We talked about last time with some of the presidential candidates are aggressive can they lead, things of that nature. Should we look out for that when we're talking about the Cook County Board president and Lori Lightfoot?
I think we should because, as we discussed earlier, the notion of women being in executive positions in government is still rare. There are 9 women governors. There are less than 15 women attorneys general. So the notion that women can and should and have the right to hold executive office is new and to some people scary. And so the presumption, I think, will be on the part of some people, well, I can sort of try to knock these people down a few pegs just as I might with women running for president. So I think the opportunity here is to say, yes, Chicago and its voters, I'm kind of repeating myself here, but I think it's so important.
Well, what should we look for?
We're ready for women.
I've already started thinking about you when I see the media coverage saying, you know, well, what about business downtown? What about these candidates for the business community? Things like that.
Well, Lori Lightfoot has extensive experience as a lawyer in the business community. So certainly she knows what those issues are. She stated her positions on those. Mm-hmm. And Tony Preckwinkle is running the second largest county in the United States. She's dealt with a budget every, close to $6 million budget every year she's been in office. So I think the notion that these women aren't as equipped or skilled as any man would be who's running is a false notion.
Vote Her In is the book. Get it. RebeccaSive.com. It's always nice to see you. And it's nice to have good politics story in topic about Chicago and Illinois.
Exactly.
We'll come back in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and tell you who is the winner of those Hawks tickets next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey, well, kiss me.
Welcome to more on entertainment. More on entertainment, a service of more on industries, more on Inc., more on Co., more on Co. Wait a second. If we combined Ronco with more on entertainment, more Ronco, imagine the money we'd make. You know me, I'm an idea man.
I can't wait for that sweatshirt.
Are you right? I mean, come on. How are you?
I'm fine. It's been a very busy 24 hours with, just shortly after we spoke yesterday morning, Luke Perry was announced passed away. And then this Michael Jackson documentary has just got me captivated, disgusted.
Let me ask you a question, though. For those of us who are around this stuff, and I don't mean pedophilia, but are around the business for all these years, are we surprised?
I don't think anyone, is too shocked at what we see that Michael Jackson was a weird dude, that he more than marched the beat of his own drummer. We all knew that he hung around children all the time. That was no secret. The Michael Jackson estate talks about his generosity and how he did so much for children who had nothing and, tried to provide a childhood to kids because he had no childhood, but there have been plenty of allegations of childhood sexual abuse.
For years.
4 years. 2 major trials in which he was found innocent at both trials, mostly because, as was alleged last night, people who testified in behalf of Michael Jackson last night were lying. They say that they just out and out lied because they loved Michael Jackson.
Well, and there was payoffs. There were payoffs for years.
Well, and those particular victims, though, Dean, they did not know until later. They did not realize they had been abused. They thought they had a relationship with someone they loved that loved them.
Yeah, they were just trying to protect. They still say that they love Michael Jackson. They love him. It was ingrained in them from the day that Michael met them when they were 7 and 10 years old. Don't tell anybody what we're doing. We'll both go to jail. We'll both,
It's classic predator behavior.
And don't trust your parents and things like that.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know, Dean, I watched all 4 hours except for 18 minutes. Yesterday I missed the first 18 minutes of part two. But
my dinner was delivered during the first 5 minutes.
Okay, so you also missed that part.
I paused and rewatched
and went back.
I couldn't watch it live.
For me, the part, you know, Steve, you mentioned people that have been in the business, you know, and I've been doing radio for... 19 years. Yeah, and pop, you know, I was on a pop station for 5 of those years. Mm-hmm. I did not realize, and I guess it makes sense, I never thought about the parental involvement in how'd the kid get there in the first place, or that the parents slept near where the, you know, it never played out in my head, like, how was he had access to the kids. The families got sucked in. This wasn't just, he didn't just prey the kids. He was... taking in the whole family and tricking it was a whole system.
But I think that's the overwhelming thing with me after watching all 4 hours, plus I watched the 1 hour interview that Oprah did with the two accusers.
Well, I want to ask you about that in a second, but I don't know if you remember the Martin Bashir interview several years ago.
Right? Oh, yeah.
When Martin Bashir interviewed Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson said, there's nothing wrong with sharing your bed with a child. Yes, when you are a stranger. I don't care if you're the biggest celebrity in the world, which he was at the time of at least Wade in this story. It's not okay. It's not okay. And if the kid is having a nightmare or something and needs to be cuddled or needs help, you call their parents and you go, here's the situation. What would you like me to do? It's not okay. It was never okay. It wasn't okay back then. It's not okay now. And, you know, whether you believe the documentary or not, there's way too much smoke here for there not to be fire.
Yeah. And the conclusion that I got out of last night wasn't so much about the shocking revelations that we got the night before. And I mean shocking revelations of very specific graphic details about what these two kids say happened to them. Last night was... why things happened? What was the aftermath of the things that happened? Going through the two trials and why one of the kids, Wade Robeson, says he was coached and trained to go on the stand and take the cross-examination and was one of the biggest defenders of Michael Jackson. You know, people have been saying, you know, he's a big liar. You know, he's lying. Was he lying then? Is he lying now? This is a kid that was in love with Michael Jackson, did not want to hurt his friend, didn't want to hurt himself. You know, he thought, what's going to happen to me if
you're a little kid? You don't know, except for you know what you're told.
And then as he got older, he got so deep into this lie. You know, then the second trial came along when he was 21, 22 years old. And, you know, just same feelings for Michael Jackson, but also the feeling that I am so deep into this lie. What will happen to me, my family, if I come out and say that I lied at the previous trial? And then both of the accusers talk about, going into this deep depression of hiding the secret
sure.
that they held all of their lives. Both of them married women. Both of them had children, and it wasn't until they had their own children. This was so interesting. Till they had their own children and looked at their own sons about the age that they were when they were allegedly molested, that they said, what if something happened to my child like this? And he just couldn't take it anymore.
And Dean,
that's when he finally told the therapist what had happened and his brother, and, you know, it went from there.
The filmmaker Dan Reed, he stakes his career on this story and the stories of Wade and Mr. Safechuck as well. But the notion, he said he's been doing documentaries, and he didn't get into tell the story of not just about Michael Jackson, but the breakups of these families, because all of the tragedies that happened had not just an impact on the victims, but also on all of the parents and the siblings, as you just mentioned. But he also talked about that he didn't really think about when he was making the film about the lasting lasting legacy or impact this would have on Michael Jackson. It seems like it is doing that, that there are more and more people that you see that are like, that's it. It's almost it's the hashtag Me Too era where we're done with these artists and radio stations are dropping the music and things like that. Do you, from your perch, do you see that this is the end of Michael Jackson?
I don't think so. I don't think so. We, you know, with all that happened to Bill Cosby, the reruns went off the air for a little while, and now they're back. If I come across them when I'm channel surfing and I watch for a minute, it's so distracting to me to see Bill Cosby now that we know what was really going on behind the scenes or what has been alleged. I can't watch it. But some people can, and some people love it.
Well, and I also think because Michael Jackson's dead, and he's not here to defend himself, whether he bought people off or not, and I personally believe he did, there will always be a segment of the population who says it's their word against his, and he's not around to have his word. So I agree with you, Dean. I mean, I don't think this is the end. I mean, certainly it's damaging, and it ought to be. And I believe that he was a pedophile. He should have been in jail. I mean, he's getting his payback now.
I can't tell you the number of people that I talked to yesterday that said that they worshiped Michael Jackson growing up. They love his music, and this will not change anything.
Okay. It's 8:22. Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can say right now, Bill Cosby is one of the three greatest stand-ups ever. It doesn't change the fact that he's a rapist.
Yeah, but you're not going to find Bill Cosby.
I wouldn't spend a dime on
him. Oh, man, and Netflix, Cosby special. The same with Michael
Jackson. I'm a Dean. I see Bill Cosby. I can't watch it.
People are still love listening to R. Kelly music. How do you listen to those songs now and not think about everything that's happened? How do you get the same enjoyment out of that music that you did before? How do you see Michael Jackson, you know, in that Super Bowl halftime show that he did with hundreds of little children? How do you watch that now and not have thoughts in your head of what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And we touched on this before. Overwhelmingly, after watching the 4-hour documentary and the 1-hour Oprah discussion, which I want to play a little of that for you, it's really interesting. But what I came out of this is, what the hell were these parents thinking? Where were these parents? I know they were intoxicated by it all.
Yeah, it's not okay.
I know they loved the fame. You know, they say that Michael was like one of their children, that he was like a little innocent boy. They didn't want to think that anything was going on. What, as Steve said, what kind of parent lets their 7-year-old boy sleep in the bed of a 32-year-old, essentially stranger? A stranger.
Yeah. And I would throw, where are the handlers? Where's Michael Jackson's people? They somehow are not in this story. They should be on the hook.
There's a long,
there are managers
long,
and business managers
long,
and people in Neverland and all the way down in the Westwood and all
the Jackson
stuff.
Family. There's a long history of people that the bare minimum had a feeling. All right, we're way late here. Give me the clip.
This is Wade Robson talking with Oprah about why he never told the truth about all of this.
I had no understanding of it being abuse. You know, I loved Michael. And all the times that I testified and, you know, the many, many times that I gushed over him publicly in interviews or whatever it may be, that was from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? While never forgetting any of the sexual details that happened between us, but having no understanding that it was abuse, having no concept in my mind that anything about Michael could ever be bad. Anything that Michael did was right to me.
He's a little kid. A little kid. There's no way you can know. All right, we got to take a break. We got to come back, talk about Luke Perry in just a second.
You'll be calling his name.
All right, back to Dean. We only got a couple minutes here, which is not fair to the Luke Perry story, but it is what it is. People lining up to say this is nothing but a good guy.
Oh, people are, you know, have talked about what an amazing guy he is. I guess I interviewed him a couple of times. Couldn't have been nicer both times. So I had personally very nice experiences with him. But, you know, here's the telling part. You want to find out what these, you know, these guys, these actors and actresses, what they're really like. Ask the crew members that work with them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The lighting people, the makeup people, you know, the people who work with them day in and day out, and, you know, see them when they're in great moods and see them when they're in bad moods and when they're tired and hungover, and, you know, to the letter, to the person, everybody behind the scenes raves about what a genuinely nice man Luke Perry was. I mean, we know what he did on screen. 90210 turned him into you know, a heartthrob in America. Almost a, I see him as almost a James Dean kind of character. You know, always sort of the troubled rebel, almost like a Marlon Brando-esque kind.
And yet the coolest guy in the room.
Maybe the most troubled. You know, sometimes lashing out, but you know, you always knew somehow there was a good heart to the person, whether it's 90210 or the character that he played on Riverdale, his most recent television role,
the cool dad,
the Archie, you know, a spinoff on the CW. Very similar kind of character. So a tremendous career, worshipped his two children. Everyone who knew him said that he lived for his two children, that they were his heart. 16-year-old.
I mean, that's the brutal part.
And a 20-year-old. He was engaged to be married, his second marriage. So, you know, and also the tragedy and really the kind of the mortality check for the rest of us. He was 52 years old and had a massive stroke.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is important to take out of this because of the legacy of a celebrity dying. There's a thing called a transient ischemic attack. It's a TIA stroke. It's a warning sign that a major stroke is coming, and the symptoms are similar. So if you experience anything of the following, sudden numbness or weakness, particularly on one side of your body, confusion, trouble speaking or understanding what people are saying, trouble seeing, trouble walking or maintaining balance, or if you love somebody or see somebody or know somebody that's going through the same thing, could be a TIA. And what happens with the TIA, Dean, is, you know, in minutes it can go away and you go, wow, that was weird. You need to go to an ER immediately because you've got some sort of clot forming. And it leads to a major stroke. Obviously, if those symptoms lead to a collapse, you got to get help immediately. But a TIA is a chance to save yourself before it's too late. We don't know the symptoms that Luke Perry had. It could have happened without any warning at all. But learn from it and pay attention to your body when your body's telling you it's in trouble.
Yep. Yeah. If there's any, you know, positive that's to come of such a tragic sudden death, is that, you know, we all, you know, learn from it. You know, if you're in your 40s or 50s or, you know, or 60s, you are not immune from all of that.
Nope. All right, buddy. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
That's Dean. Headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I don't know what I did to Brent Seabrook, but he didn't invite me to bowl tonight.
Was it because you wore two different bowling shoes?
Are you too competitive?
A couple years ago?
I think it was probably because I tried to steal the bowling shoes.
Oh, maybe that was it. You were leaving.
I was leaving with the bowling
shoes.
Those
weren't the shoes you wore, one of each.
No. I left my own shoes out the alley.
Right.
What's the name of the alley over by that one place?
Lucky Strike?
Lucky Strike. Yeah, so Lucky Strike. That's where I walked out in bowling shoes. Mm-hmm. Because who wouldn't know? I mean, it's a common mistake. People have bowling shoes on. They don't know.
And who noticed?
Patrick Kane. Yeah. A very quick break. We'll come back. All right. Oh, is he ready? Oh, Siebes is here. All right. We're standing by for Brent Seabrook here. He was dropping his daughter off at school a moment ago. And we'll get to the bottom of this.
That dad life right there.
That situation.
So. Drop your kid off before you go to practice.
Brent Seabrook's Ice Bowl is tonight at Lucky Strike in Chicago at 6:30. Still tickets and experiences available. Tonight's event benefits innercityeducation.org. And Brent Seabrook joins us now. Siebes, it's Steve Cochran. We haven't talked in a while. So what did I do to anger you?
I don't know.
Because I used to get invited to this Ice Bowl. I never get an invite anymore. And, you know, I think you know this about me. I never show up. So you invite me. I don't take a place of anybody. I plug it on the air so you get the benefit of that. And yet I won't show up and ruin the event and try to steal bowling shoes like I did a few years ago. So I don't know why I'm not invited anymore.
Well, I didn't know that. If I knew that you weren't going to show up, I'd invite you every year.
How have you been?
It's been good.
We were just talking about the good dad move. You dropped your daughter off at school. Everything go okay with the drop-off? Because that's very stressful. You got to make sure you pull up at the right speed and do the right-of-way thing. Did you behave in line?
Yeah, we don't have a line at the school my daughter goes to. She's three, so it's a little more of a preschool. We've got to walk her in and drop her off. So it's, it's not one of those, but, it went smooth today. She didn't make me stay and anything like that. She just sort of kicked me out of there and told me to pick her up.
Later, Dad. I can tell you, dude, a couple of years from now when you start dropping your kids off at elementary school, nothing like that kind of stress. You think like a guy coming up on your blind side to bury into the boards and stuff? Wait till you see the volunteer mom with a stop sign and you run it at school. You're going to be in serious trouble.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, all this is sponsored by MB Financial Bank. Breakfast with the Blackhawks, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. All right, so you guys went on a tear. You won 7, you almost won 8, and then you sort of hit the wall. What's your take on it?
I don't know. I think, we had some ups and downs there. I thought we played really well for a long stretch of games and then got ourselves back into the playoff picture and lost a couple, won a couple, and had a sort of a tough trip. But don't really have a take on it either way. I think we just got to get back to playing that good hockey and taking ownership in all facets of the game and just be solid for a full 60.
Brent, how much of a lift did it give you guys to go on a run after the way the season had started and all that had gone on leading up to, like, late January?
Well, it's huge. I think any time you're going through a tough stretch of games or a tough stretch during the season, it's obviously tough. And I guess that goes to be said the other way around. I think when you're winning, when you're in every game and you're giving yourself an opportunity to win, there's nothing better. It's such a great feeling. I think it was good for our squad to pull some wins together. I think you gain a whole bunch of confidence from it, and that's something we got to continue to harness and work on and have that as part of the culture going forward, and it's just fun playing hockey like that. It seems like it's nights are easy, and seems like things are just going your way, and you're just you're unstoppable when you're going on a stretch like that. And it goes the same way when you're losing, right? It feels like nothing's going right. Never have a chance to win, but it was a good feeling having that. And we got to try and get that back. We're not out of the playoffs yet. I think we can make a run here still and get ourselves into the playoffs.
Well, you're in a good spot where you have in the next month a pretty hectic month where it seems like every other day you're playing, and you're playing a lot of Western Conference foes. So do you know that? Do you look at that month and say, okay, every game when you're down 8 points out of the playoffs and you need to get back in, is it every game do or die for the Blackhawks?
Yeah, absolutely. It is do or die. I think, I've never been much of a scoreboard watcher. We haven't really had to for the last 10 years or so. But, definitely this year you're getting up for games and you're watching things. I'm looking. I find myself looking every night, seeing how other teams did, seeing what the standings are looking like. And like you said, I think this stretch of games we got coming up, we still got some games against Dallas, Colorado. Divisional games that are big points. A couple against Arizona, I think. Those are going to be huge games coming down the stretch here. And if we can put a good stretch together and string some wins together against some teams that are ahead of us or we're battling with, then that'll put us in a good spot.
I've worked for guys the same age as me, and it's a different vibe than somebody's a lot older than you. Is it the same in hockey? Because I think Colleton's like less than a year older than you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny story is me and Jeremy played together when we were, 9, 10, 11 years old. In summer hockey, we played against each other every year in summer hockey. He actually came and played for our team for a tournament and spent some nights with my family at my place.
How about that?
So we grew up with the same agent growing up, in the Western League and in the NHL. And then we played against each other quite a bit throughout the Western League, played with each other on the World Junior team. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think Jeremy's done a great job, and it was, I'm sure it was, tough for him when he first took over, but he's handled it great and you know, got the respect of the room and you know, we're just trying to get this thing going in the right direction.
You ever bury him in the boards? Good hit on him back in the day?
No, I actually haven't been asked that question, but I don't know if I ever did. Jeremy was one of those guys you never, you know, let you kind of get close to him that way. He was always the other way. He was always really smart defensively.
Slippery.
Always that guy that was just sort of the pain in the ass to play against.
Exactly.
In the way, he was always, you know, just sort of there. You know, one of those guys you're just like, you're going to have a long night physically. He wasn't going to, you know, bury you or beat you up or anything like that, but you were going to have to fight for every inch you got out there you know, trying to get a shot through from the blue line as a defenseman or you know, playing as a forward. He was always pretty good defensively and in the way. So I think, you know, that was how he played.
Brent, you missed a few games at the end of February, and I was wondering at this point in the season, when you're not able to play in games, if your wife is like, you know what, I've had it by this time. I know you're injured, but you're going to help a little more at home, take advantage of your days off there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my wife's, she's been awesome. She allows me to, you know, sort of do my thing and be prepared for games and you know, sleep when I need to. Usually we're coming home from the road and you know, could be midnight, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So she's always been pretty good with that. But, you know, when you get a little break in the schedule or something like that, yeah, you definitely try and help out as much as you can. And I think we've got a good relationship that way. We both try and do as much as we can when we're out.
You don't make the mistake of coming home after a road trip going, why do we do it this way? I mean, you know, she's the coach at home, right?
Yeah, no, I don't make that mistake. No, she's amazing. She's got those kids dialed in pretty good with all their school and activities. We're getting to the age where Carter's playing hockey and you know, Kenzie's in ballet and dance, and Carter's got baseball and we've got our third one. She's starting to do some soccer and swimming lessons and all that kind of stuff. So you know, I make the joke sometimes. She's quite a bit busier than I am most of the time. So it's I'm pretty lucky. I've got a great wife that likes to keep these kids active and pushes them into stuff, so it's good.
Well, it's good to hear you say that, and good to hear you say that we're not out of it yet, we being you, and you being the guy that's got to lead away to win every night. So we'll get that cranked up again. Dave, next game is when?
Next game, Thursday night against the Buffalo Sabres at the United Center.
And what do we know about the Buffalo Sabres? They hate grandmothers, puppies, and rainbows. So let's go tear them up. In the meantime, Jim Schaefer sends in the MB Financial Bank Breakfast of the Blackhawk question of the day. Fundamentally, for a kid just starting out as a defenseman, what's the first thing you'd teach him?
First thing I'd teach him? I think skating is such a big part of the game now. I think, you know, whether you're a forward or a defenseman, you got to be able to skate. You know, so I think as a young kid, you want to work on that as much as you can. You know, defensively, from a defenseman standpoint, opposed to a forward, I think having a good stick, working on angles, backward skating is a big one for defensemen.
Good point.
You know, but I think at the end of the day, I tell it to all the kids I talk to, you want to have fun playing the game. It's the greatest game in the world, and you got to have fun. If you're not having fun, then
you should probably do something else.
You'd probably do something else, but you know, I think just having the fun. I think embracing it, being with your teammates. You know, my favorite thing about being an NHL player is I get to wake up every morning and then go hang out with, you know, 23, 25 guys every day, hang out with the trainers, be around them every morning. So you know, for me,
it's a pretty good job.
It's pretty sweet to wake up and hang out with the guys and be around them and you know. That's sort of what I got to say.
11th Annual Celebrity Ice Bowl tonight. Lucky Strike in Chicago at 6:30. Select tickets and experiences still available. It's innercityeducation.org. Chicago Blackhawks Foundation, big backers as well. And Siebes and I have an agreement. As long as I agree not to show up, I'm going to get invited every year from now on.
That's right. And you, if you have a question... Oh. Go ahead, Brian.
Here's your formal invitation.
All right,
you're more than welcome to come.
Oh, I can't make it. I can't make it tonight. Yep. Oh. There you go. So it seems like our deal's off to a good start.
So, Jim, you're going to win an autographed Chicago Blackhawks hockey puck courtesy of MB Financial. MB means business. You can go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit your question for a chance to win.
Brent Seabrook, thank you, buddy. Go beat those Sabres.
All right, you got it. Thank you.
See ya.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Coming up, Father Hurley. We're going to be talking about something that's not the big block party, but a cool thing. David Hochberg, later on, your money. And as time allows, the idea that we'll have 81 more subpoenas for evidence as the House takes up this investigation that apparently will never end ever, 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 ever. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
910, we continue with one of my favorite guests, even though he rarely agrees to do the show. Father Hurley, nice to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
Turn your microphone up so
America can hear you.
You know,
I think the last time he was okay. here, Steve, we were, this studio wasn't finished yet, so we were in the other studios, and we had asked for a blessing of sorts, but this is the first time he's been back in this
Could you bless
studio.
This room?
This is our main studio now. So.
Does it need a blessing or exorcism?
What exorcism. That's what you did for us last time, I think. So.
Yeah, I think this place, a blessing would be appropriate, but let's save it for the end. I think that'd be appropriate to do it then. How are you?
Good, real good. Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Before we talk about the event, you want to introduce your friend here?
Sure. With me is Bill Frere, and Bill is our director of concert choirs over at Old St. Patrick's, and he is the creative spirit behind this beautiful show that we're going to do next Tuesday at Symphony Center.
Which we're going to plug here in just a second. Bill, you were telling me off the air, is a taskmaster and way too hard on his people. Isn't that what you were saying, Father?
Yes. True.
That's not what you said? I thought that's what you said. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing good.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Talk about this show that's coming up.
Great show coming up on March 12th about an unknown character named Mother Jones.
Okay.
She was a great labor organizer, and she was a pretty salty woman. One of her favorite lines is, pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living.
Well,
and,
she sounds like fun.
She was fun. No, she represented union people and children workers all over the U.S. and Mexico.
Real people.
Real people, yes. She was a...
regular, good, hardworking folks.
Absolutely.
And all right, so how do you turn that to music?
Oh, we're doing some Billy Bragg music. He's got a tune, Mother Jones, The Miner's Angel. We're doing some Irvine music.
Okay.
Some Irish songs, Ni Nach Go Cur, More Power When We Are Together. Mm-hmm. Billy Bragg's There's Power in the Union, Pete Seeger's Step by Step.
And this is a woman who suffered greatly in her own life, and at 60 decided to start over and kind of the second half of her life, though numerically that may not work out, check my math. Yes. She really helped change the world.
Oh, she did. I mean, she pretty much lost all of her family, her children, her dressmaking business, and then at age 60 she got involved in labor organizing and traveled around the country from age 60 to 93.
I was complaining about the commute this morning. She survived famine in County Cork, yellow fever in Tennessee, and the Great Chicago Fire, and then started working harder than ever for other people.
That's
a saint.
Not bad.
That's something else.
So I'm interested because when I think of Irish Catholic celebrations and music, you might think Gaelic, you might think more traditional Irish folk. But you hear the names of Billy Bragg or Pete Seeger, and you recognize that they may still be in the genre of folk, but they're a little bit more contemporary. Why choose those artists as opposed to the more traditional stuff?
Yeah, we've chosen a number of traditional pieces, but those folk artists communicate her message and story a little more clearly and closely. And we've commissioned Gary Fry, a composer here in Chicago, too. We arranged them for Irish traditional instruments. We have Irish singers and dancers and orchestra. So even though they're folk songs, they have an Irish flavor. And lots of the folk music came out of the Irish tradition anyhow. So it's there's a pretty clear connection.
Can I ask, I just asked about the connection between the Catholic Church and that traditional folk music? Because when I think of the music you're talking about and the Irish dancing, that's a very traditional music to the country land and to the homeland. Where does the church come in? Was the church a big part of that kind of music? Because I always think of the church being more, I don't know what the right word would be, stoic with the pipes and the organs and a different type of music.
Less fun.
Less fun.
Thanks.
You know, I think one of the ways it comes in is that the church, the Catholic Church in this country early on was pretty much on the side of unions. Workers and ordinary people, and a lot of the folk music addresses and speaks to those issues. So yeah. I think that's one of the connections. Tom?
I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, there have been great, you know, we were Old St. Pat's through Bill, you know, we were one of the places that brought forth really some great liturgical music that was written with kind of the Celtic melody. And so there's a great composer, a priest named Liam Lawton, who's very well known in Ireland. And, you know, St. Pat's under Bill was really the place that kind of introduced his music into Catholic liturgy here in the United States, and specifically at Old St. Pat's. You know, in terms of the program itself, which is called Sheemsa na Gael, I was going to give...
Quit showing off.
I was going to give Steve a little lesson, but thought I'd get that out first. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was 23 years ago that through Bill Ferrer and through my predecessor, Father Jack Wall, that they said, you know, St. Patrick's Day is more than just turning a river green and going out and, you know, having a parade, which is all good stuff. But, you know, what are some of the things where we can really celebrate Irish heritage and culture? And so story and song and dance, and it's just a beautiful way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
And a couple of fantastic narrators.
Not too bad.
Carol Marine and the granddaughter of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Absolutely.
How did that come together?
She's actually also the great-great-great niece of Teddy Roosevelt. And Mother Jones marched, oh, probably 150, 200 maimed factory children from Philadelphia to Teddy Roosevelt's summer home in Oyster Bay to raise awareness about child labor. And then...
So this is a family passion, then.
It's a family passion. And then Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Anne's grandfather, is the one who introduced lots of legislation that Mother Jones worked her whole life for. And he's the one that passed the Child Labor Act in 1934. So Anne's kind of a...
It sounds very uplifting at the same time that it sounds very heavy. Can we lean more on the uplifting than heavy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because the ticket price is very reasonable. It's 30 to 60 bucks. You go to CSO.org for the various tickets that are available. I'd assume it'll sell out, so I certainly hope you get involved. You can call, too, to get tickets at 312-294-3000. Father Tom, do you get involved in the music at all? Are you in those meetings?
Bill keeps me out of it. He keeps me out of it. Yeah.
So they don't let you in?
I'm just a pretty face here on the radio.
Amen. Amen. You and I both suffer the same burden. My bald friend. What music do you listen to when you're not at church? Like, what do you like? What type of music?
You know, when I'm not listening to you guys, yeah. You know, a little pop, you know.
Give me an artist that you like. Like an artist that you like. Well, how about this? A concert you would pay for tickets.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I'm of an era like Bruce Springsteen.
Sure.
I like Bruce's.
You love Bruce?
Music.
I love Bruce.
I like Bruce. Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce is great. No bubblegum poppy stuff, none of that stuff?
No. I mean...
Okay, easy.
I'm not into, like, Lady Gaga or anything like that.
Gaga's great. You know what Gaga would sound like with Bill? Bill and Gaga together. Am I right, Bill?
Absolutely. I'd play the piano and she'd lie on the piano.
Fantastic.
A little Bieber, a little Gaga. We're going to bring them in next year.
Oh,
do you think Gaga lying on the piano might create some conversation there amongst the parishioners? Now, of course, the big block party's coming up soon as well.
It is in June, yeah.
So for the folks at Old St. Pat's, it never ends. There's always a good time to be had.
there is. There's something for everybody. This is, you know, and even this program is for everybody. And this is really something, young or old, Irish or not, this is a great program people should come to.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like the Black Party, too. I mean, that's obviously we kind of target more of a younger audience, but, you know.
But you make a good point. The kids won't get bored by this. They'll have fun, huh, Bill?
Oh, at SHEMSA? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we have the Trinity Dancers, great singers, Catherine O'Connell, Roderick Dixon.
Oh, Roderick Dixon's
he's fantastic.
Fantastic.
And
After School Matters, the choir of After School Matters.
After School Matters choir. Yeah. Great Irish musicians, John Williams, Jimmy Moore, Gavin Coyle, Bev Teela from New York, an opera singer that's coming in. Old St. Pat's Concert Choir. So our choirs will be about 140 voices.
There's nothing better than a great orchestra, church choir.
Six-piece.
It's the best.
Irish trad band with banjoist Steve Martin, the Chicago Steve Martin.
Chicago Steve Martin.
Yes.
Right. I like your
Steve Martin. Listen, if we throw Steve Martin out without clarity and it sells a few tickets, no, nobody gets hurt.
Right. I like Chicago first. Steve Martin. That's a great yeah. nickname to have.
Leave it to you to tell the truth.
Yes. So it'll be a great show that will appeal to everybody, and it's a great spectacle on the stage, lots of moving parts.
All right, Father Tom, can you talk about the church a little bit when we come back, and we'll do the blessing?
Sure, be happy to.
Okay, stick around.
A little Fat Tuesday.
Don't call me names.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Imagine this at church. I think this would work with the choir. I really do. There's a message there. In the shallow, we need to be lifted up. The power of love. What, have I got to write it? Come on.
Oh my gosh.
You're hired. Bite you in.
You're hired.
Father Tom, a Lent about to begin. Let's give us a little lesson here.
All right.
Lent is...
Lent is, it comes from a word that basically means the springtime. How about that on a day like today?
There you go.
I thought you were going to say no fun.
No. it means it's springtime.
Springtime
and it is
of the church year, and it's a time when we're anticipating Easter, obviously, 40 days. A little bit of penance, a little bit of sacrifice. So,
and the significance of 40 days.
40 days, you know, there's a lot of references to 40 days, 40 years in the scripture, but primarily Jesus is 40 days in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually there last week. I was there.
You were in the Holy Land.
Yeah, I was. And I was in that area where they believed he was after he was baptized in the River Jordan.
Now, you've been there many times, so do you take the same trip normally? I don't think people know how small an area generally it is.
It is.
But do you go to the same place?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean... You're going to holy sites, so it's not like they've discovered new ones. You know what I mean? So.
Not yet.
Tonight on National Geographic, who knew Jesus was here?
Exactly.
All right, today is Fat Tuesday, right?
So it is.
So what is the significance for Fat Tuesday? It feels kind of wrong to have you here on Fat Tuesday when this is supposed to be the day that the heathens go crazy, right?
Oh, you don't know Father Tom.
We're going out afterwards. No, you know, Fat Tuesday, I mean, so it comes right, carnival, right? And it's the whole idea of carne levare, you know, where we're gonna remove the meat and remove the fat. And so this is kind of the last day to enjoy all that good stuff. So tomorrow we enter into Ash Wednesday and the 40 days of sacrifice and giving things up.
And, you know, do you find it funny that that meat was held in higher esteem than fish? I like seafood. What's wrong with fish?
You know? Yeah, well, the idea of during Lent is not going to, you know, Shaw's Crab House and getting a 3-pound lobster and saying, gee, I'm doing sacrifice.
Oh,
you
know? Hold on. Let me write that down.
Yeah, exactly.
The idea is to sacrifice something. Do you, over the years, people, I'm sure, have told you a million stories about what they've given up for Lent. Yeah. You got a favorite? Because, you know, I like when people go, I'm giving up Starburst. Really? That's your sacrifice?
That's a big one.
Yeah. Are people honest with you about that stuff? Because I find that a lot of people will do majority of people will do a legitimate sacrifice, a message, a personal thing. But there'll be some people that go, you know what I'm giving up? I'm giving up cursing.
I heard that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah, I hear cursing. I hear people giving up beer or liquor the whole time.
Dave, we're sorry.
But a lot of times it's amazing how they give themselves a little reprieve when it comes to St. Patrick's Day. So.
I'm giving up drinking every day except
I think that's the special dispensation that we get from. Doesn't the Pope tell us that?
Yeah, but the Pope doesn't give it to these people. They give it to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, their own dispensation. Yeah. But I tell you, I've some folks, there's a guy at St. Pat's, he gives up meat the entire period of Lent. So not just on Fridays, but he goes the whole.
I mean, this isn't a vegan normally. This is someone that enjoys meat.
No, this is a good meat eating person.
Yeah.
That might be a possibility for you, Justin. You like the
no? I was just saying maybe possibility for climate change. There's a lot about giving up meat to save the planet. So maybe we just need to do Lent year round.
So we extend Lent.
Yeah.
Well, I remember back in the days of our parents and grandparents, there was no meat on all the Fridays, every Friday.
Yeah, it was the deal.
And that was the deal.
Fish. That's how Friday fish fries came about.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was more than just Lent. It was every Friday.
Well, times change.
Exactly.
Before we go on to the blessing of the studio, again, it's the granddaughter of FDR and Roosevelt, award-winning NBC Chicago journalist Carol Marine, who will narrate The Most Dangerous Woman in America, Ireland's Mother Jones. It's just a great story. And, Bill, thank you for taking all the time to orchestrate and collaborate and all the things you had to do to put this together.
It's been a labor of love and of education and fun.
Tickets range in price from $30 to $60. Get the cheapskate. Get the $60 tickets. Help a brother out. And Symphony Center box office at CSO.org, 312-294-3000. And tickets have been on sale for a couple of weeks now, so get yours before they're gone. So what do we need to do to facilitate this blessing?
Not much. Just sit tight. You're doing fine.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Yes.
Great. So, Almighty God, it was through the gift of the angels, right, that you made announcements to the world. And so, here at WJN and this beautiful new studio, continue to bless all those who do their work here. And may you continue to have fun, and may you continue to communicate great messages to the world and sharing news. And bless all those here through the gift of the angels, and bless Mary, who's probably the best angel and who's probably a fallen angel. Oh. So, no, but bless them, and may they continue to just bring great joy to all their listeners. Amen.
Thank you.
Very nice. No way that you can give us some church singing after that? We can all open our hymnals to page 242?
I just direct.
You don't want to
hear that.
Honestly, if you did, we might be able to get an offering together here. I'm just saying. So, you're always welcome here. You know that.
Thank you
for the
so
work
much.
You do every day.
Great being with you guys.
Great to see you guys.
Thank you.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Money, 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 money. It's kind of weird that we go from Father Tom to you, David Hochberg.
Hi.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I'm Father Money.
From
Father
one of my Tom. Favorite Catholics to one of my favorite Jews.
Yes.
Look at this.
Thank you.
Full service hour.
Multicultural.
Is that a long list or a short list of favorite Jews?
Well, they're both long.
Are they?
Yeah, you know me. I love people.
You love people.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
You're a people person.
David Hochberg's here, and we'll ask him about the best way to make the most out of your house and its value and your credit rating and all those things we normally talk about. But what's this deal where you're giving away a mortgage payment?
Yeah, we're trying to help people manage their finances by helping them with a mortgage payment. It came to me, I was driving in listening to Eric Ferguson, because my wife drove my car the night before, and he was giving away doubling your paycheck. That's a promotion they have. So I'm like, well, you know, that's a great paycheck. I'm like, why don't we just pay people's mortgages, right? So it took about 6 weeks of attorneys. Had to go through all of the home site attorneys and the compliance and get it through all the five or six radio stations I advertise on to make sure I could say this and can't say that. And so it's called a sweepstakes, and it's free, and I just want to help people out. So it's very simple. You go to 56, the number 5, the number 6, David Wynn. And if you want to read all the wonderful rules and regulations, you can go to 56 David Wynn sweepstakes /sweepstakes rules if you're into reading rules. But it's very simple.
If you're into reading rules, you're the same person that reads all of the things on a website that you have to agree to before you check the box.
Yeah, that would not be me. I just go to the box and check it and move on.
Except cookies.
So long story short, we just want to help people out. So if you live in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, or Iowa, we have an office in Iowa. You do not have to have done a loan with us. It's not a requirement. It could be anywhere. All you have to do is go and register. It has to be your primary residence. You have to be minimum 21 years old. These are some of the basic rules. And it has to be your first mortgage payment. We're not paying taxes or insurance. We're just paying the mortgage payment. If you have an interest-only loan, we'll pay the interest only portion. If you have a home equity line of credit in first lien position or home equity loan, we'll pay that as well.
So, not that super rich folks should win this, but there's a limit.
There's a limit. I believe it's $2,500.
Okay,
which
it's a nice price.
Which essentially covers up to a $500,000 mortgage payment or $450,000 mortgage payment, and just trying to help people out. And you enter once. You're good through the end of the year. Goes all the way through December. We're going to select the winner. I have a show on another radio station on Saturday mornings between 10 and noon.
It's not our fault.
It's what I tried to take it over here. You guys don't want it, but that's a whole other story for another conversation.
It's not my
meeting.
It's not my meeting.
To get it over here. It's not my... I've given up. But over there, it's called Home Sweet Home Chicago and WLS. And so...
Did I ask you to plug it?
Well, I mean, figured honestly, as long as we were going down that path, throw it in there.
To be honest, you're the only thing worth listening to there, so I suppose... Suppose you should plug it, but go ahead.
Well, that's your personal opinion. I can't get into that kind of conversation right now. It wouldn't be appropriate. But at 11 o'clock the last Friday, the last Saturday.
Have you paid your bill this month?
I pay it every month.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, continue. I probably paid for the studio. Okay, you got a nice view. God knows how much I've invested in this place over the past 8 years. It'd be nice to at least get a meeting to bring the show over, but forget about it. It's not like I'm hung up on anything. So last Saturday of the month. It's basically going to go into a big Bozo bucket type of prize spin wheel. I got Mega Pros making it. I found a company in Muncie, Indiana to buy tickets from that are chronologically go up in order.
Sure.
I just bought 100,000 tickets. Hopefully I'll buy another 100,000, another 100,000, another 100,000. So if you enter today, you're entered in to win through the end of the year. One entry per person per household. So if two people are on the mortgage, Mr. and Mrs. McGillicuddy could enter. Okay. It's only one household can win, right?
But did you do the McGillicuddy loan?
I did the McGillicuddy loan, and I did Mrs. McGillicuddy loan. Mr. McGillicuddy, not such a nice guy.
Yeah,
but why not, right? I mean, if we could give a little back, and it's free. It's the best four-letter word in the English language that starts with an F, right? I know you're thinking food, but I like free. So
free
if you go, 56davidwin.com. I don't know why I, you know.
Why wouldn't you enter?
Why wouldn't you enter? It's unbelievable. I'm talking to a lady in Muncie. I'm like, hey, why don't you go and enter? She's like, I don't have a mortgage. I'm like, well, tell the guy next to you or gal next to you.
So
that's what we're doing. I want to say can I thank one of your listeners real quick?
Well,
I'm going to do it anyway.
Doesn't involve a plug for another state.
It doesn't involve a plug of my radio show at 10 to noon at Home Sweet Home Chicago with WLS. Yeah. Tom listens to this radio station. His daughter, Beth, and his son-in-law are moving back from the East Coast. Okay? She went online, went to all of these things, having nothing but trouble, talking to people online, not calling her back. The father tells Beth to call me. Talked to her, hooked her up with a realtor, all set, ready to go. We're getting her approved before she comes back out. They want to move back in June. So right now, home sales are up 48,000 units more than they expected. So home sales are up. Inventories are down here. You're at three and a half months worth of inventory locally. It's typically six is a normalized market. Having an approval letter before you go in. So I want to thank Tom for referring his daughter, who's moving back here to Chicago because her husband got a job. And it's nice to help out parents, especially daughters, because I have three daughters. And
right.
So I called Tom on Monday, thanked him. I said, I want to thank you for referring your daughter over. We're going to get her squared away with a realtor, and we're going to get her approved. So that's what we
did. It's a nice story.
It's a great story. It's a feel-good story. I feel good. You feel good?
I feel real good.
That's good. I've got a bad back right now, but I'm all right other than that.
By the way, you mentioned your daughters. You have a wonderful family, and I say that with a question
amazing.
Mark.
I have a saint for a wife.
Yeah, yeah. Your wife is lovely, and your kids are great.
Well, she's Jewish. She'll be like a rabbinus for a wife, I guess. Would that be, Justin?
My rabbinus. Jewish?
Would that be like a rabbi instead of a saint?
Why does Justin know?
Because his last name's Kaufman. He's assuming he's a Jew.
Not Jewish.
Oh, you're not Jewish? Okay, well, never mind.
Yeah. But I do know rabbinus does sound right.
Rabbinus sounds right? Yeah.
Why do you have to stereotype?
I thought he was Jewish all this time.
Because earlier, when he said the F word, he assumed you were thinking food. So
right.
He profiled you too, Steve.
Yeah, and I think he was thinking something else.
I was right on that.
I heard it.
That's not my favorite one.
Food?
The texters say if refi
fire.
People if can refi yeah fire well
fire.
Severance is actually a better word.
Severance.
If refi people can enter the sweepstakes, are you allowing refi people in or is it just
Absolutely.
Mortgage payments?
All you have to do is have a mortgage. You know, again, we don't have to one of the qualifications is that Team Hochberg has done your mortgage. No, if you have a mortgage, a first mortgage, and you live in Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Iowa. Illinois, Wisconsin. I got them all. I got the five. Yeah. As long as you live in those five states and have a primary mortgage, you could enter in. You don't. There's no strings attached. All right. If you went to Big Blue Bank or Fractional Bank or Stagecoach Bank and, you know, all these banks to have done your loan, right? Fine. Go to 56DavidWynn.com. Enter in the information that we require,
and you're in.
And you're registered to win. The drawing is every last Saturday of the month. And then we'll go out like the M. McMahon.
It's the year of the mortgage payment.
It's a David Hochberg, Team Hochberg mortgage sweepstakes giveaway. I mean, okay. It's called a sweepstakes, not a contest.
I know. That's a very important thing to the lawyers.
I got enough lawyers coming after me, already being sued by, well, forget about it. But, yeah. Fine.
How is your back? Your back hurt?
That chair out there, I think it would be a traction.
It was a comedy chair. He sat in a chair and he tried to adjust it. He went down to about 8 inches off the ground twice.
Boom. Right after I told him, he's like, "How you doing?" He's like, "You look a little rough." I'm like, "My back's killing me." Then bam, the chair gave way.
It's a comedy. It's the comedy chair. Yeah, but what is like, it? Low back issue?
Yeah, I did some deadlifting yesterday. Kind of. I'm supposed to sneeze.
It's an injury from
I did.
Out.
I did
it's a workout injury.
I did the first five pretty good. Sixth one, not so good.
Right. So, in other words, you sneezed while you were eating a sandwich.
No, I was actually lifting weights.
Are you doing CrossFit?
No, forget about that. This body's not built for CrossFit.
Are you doing some fit?
I'm doing. I was doing all right till I did the sixth rep there.
Are you vocal in your deadlifts? Are you like?
Yeah. Well, I'm a heavy breather. Yeah. I kind of grunt.
Why aren't you wearing a weightlifting belt?
I lost my weightlifting belt. Okay, Mr. Smart Guy.
Yeah.
I used to live at 2800 North Lakeshore Drive. I used to ride my bike from 2800 Lakeshore Drive to the East Bank Club. And one day, I put it around me. I hit a pothole, and it fell off.
You didn't even know.
And I couldn't go back because
there were
trucks.
And where could you possibly get another one?
I figured that's a sign from God.
That must be the only one in the world
that was
available.
It's a sign from God that 25 years of weightlifting belts... 15, 20 years ago, it's a time to move on.
It's 9:47.
Maybe it's a sign from God to stay the hell out of the gym.
Questions that come up whenever you're in. What's a cash out refinance?
Cash out refinance is when you take cash out of your home from the equity of the home that you built up.
Why is it a good idea?
It's a good idea because people are borrowing, are paying off higher interest rate credit cards. If you're taking out $50,000 out of your home, which we just did for a guy yesterday, to pay off $50,000 worth of credit card debt, the $50,000 worth of credit card debt with 4% minimum monthly payments, which is what they jacked up to do the Schumer bill about 8 years ago during the Obama administration's first term. The credit card payments, minimum payments on $50,000 are what that individual was paying $2,000 a month. $50,000 in a mortgage is about $250 a month. That to me is a good saving. There's some people out there going, you shouldn't use your equity to pay off your debts. And I go to those people, live your life and mind your own business. There are some people that...
Why would they say, I mean, beyond the fact that your loan has to go back to start, right? That's the idea.
Right.
That's the only real detriment.
That's the only real detriment
that
in some people who are purists that say, oh, you shouldn't take out any home, and once I pay off the home, you know, your goal should be to pay off the home. My goal is to get to tomorrow, okay? My goal is, and most of your listeners out there that are driving trucks and are firefighters,
well, a lot of people want to
professionals.
Criticize. A lot of people who want to criticize.
Sure, they want to look at other people, but I'll tell you what, the person next to you on the train right now as you're driving and listening on the app or riding in are sitting with $30,000 to $40,000 worth of credit card debt in that train car, okay? If you're listening at work, look around your office, 70 to 80% of those people are carrying between $20,000 to $30,000, $40,000 with credit card debt. Okay, now if those people that are sitting there, it might be you as you're looking around, looking at other people, going, "He's right, that's me." And then you're looking around, you don't realize that other people are sitting there with credit card debt. How do I know this? We pull hundreds of credit reports every single month.
Are you seeing it from that vantage point of every single month? Seeing that
past 17, 18 years?
The debt that you pull today, just anecdotally, is more than, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
No, it's the same. It's the same. And you know, according to creditcard.com, the average person in Illinois is carrying $38,000 worth of debt.
Well, the difference is there's more credit cards out there.
Well, there's more credit cards out there.
$38,000 just credit card.
Your credit card debt, according to creditcard.com. Illinois is the highest out of the four-state region. Mm-hmm. Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana. Indiana is the lowest. Then I believe it's Michigan... No, I think it's Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois. All I know is that Indiana's the lowest.
From your vantage point, what do you attribute that to?
I attribute to that too.
People want a lot of stuff around here, huh?
People are.
Or is it a cost of living issue that if you live in Chicago, you're paying $2 more for a bottle of water than if you're living in?
I think what it is.
Middle of Indiana.
I think it's access.
I think what it is, Justin, is people are trying to keep up with the Joneses,
okay.
And the Joneses are broke. okay, and the Joneses have $30,000 to $40,000 worth of credit card debt. My daughter Carly is going to be 16 years old on April 25th. When we moved to Northbrook, my wife and I, you put her in the stroller and we took a walk. Right, that's what married people with kids do, and they take their kids for a walk instead of their dog. So we're walking our daughter around the neighborhood, and she's like, "This is God's honest truth. We've been in the home since 2002 in our neighborhood in Northbrook." So she goes, "How could all these people afford all these new cars?" And I'm like, "They can't." And she's like, "What are you talking about? They can't. Then why do they continue to have them?" Like,
oh, I can tell you that. I mean, I live in a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, in my nice neighborhood, there are things that people have that look fantastic
and can't afford them.
They are way over their skis. Having said that, the other question I get a lot for you is, what is an average credit rating? Because people don't know.
Average credit rating that we see between 660 and 700. If you're above 700, that's really, really good. If you're above 740, that's outstanding.
Below 660, do you need to do some work?
Yeah, 660, you should pay attention to it.
When do you have trouble getting a loan financed?
Below 620. Okay, then things start. We can still get your loan down to like 540, but things start getting a lot more expensive, a lot more restrictive, and a lot more costly for the borrower. But you know, we've got programs down to 540, we got programs down to 560, and what we try to do is a gentleman who listens to the show and his wife have got $250,000 worth of student loan debt, $250,000 worth of equity in their home. He goes and misses a mortgage payment, right? Combined income, $225,000. They've got $3,000 a month in student loan payments. $3,000 a month in student loan payments. That's freaking crazy. Okay, so, but we could roll it in because he decided to go miss a mortgage payment in November, which completely screwed him up. So we're in the process of putting Humpty Dumpty back together. Right, other lenders would have kicked him to the curb and said, "Way to go there, Spartacus. You know, call us back in November." But you know, I spent about 25 minutes on the phone on Sunday driving my daughter back and forth to Sunday school and saying, "Hey, this is how we're going to put the egg back together. As long as you don't fall back off the ledge there, come November, we'll be able to roll a bunch of this debt into your mortgage and save yourself over $1,000 a month." He's like, "I'm in."
So make your mortgage payments, people. Make your mortgage payments.
Everything, credit card payments. I mean, his wife had a.
But there's nothing more damaging than missing a mortgage payment.
It's a kick in the head with a steel toe.
Stick around a second.
Okay.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So many maybes around the world. A little cameo from yesterday's Bill and Wendy discussion. David Hochberg's here. One more thing before you go, David. You're looking for a realtor. Realtor. I would think you would know one.
I know a lot. So on that show on the other station, we're not supposed to talk about Saturdays from 10 until noon. There's an opening for a realtor to handle Algonquin Route 59 from Algonquin down to Aurora.
Did you know Route 59 is the second most revenue-driven road in Illinois after Michigan Avenue? There's more money on
Route 59.
Yeah, commercial money on Route 59 than there is anywhere else other than Michigan Avenue.
I'm not sure about that pronunciation of Algonquin. It's Algonquin.
Algonquin.
There you go.
All right, from Algonquin or Algonquin.
And it's not realtor.
According to my non-Jewish friend, Justin Coffin.
There's a silent P in realtor.
Oh, is there? So we know. Okay. Yeah, okay. I got yelled at by one of your listeners. It's realtor. If you're going to be in the industry, know how to say it. I'm like, all right there, Sparty. Just switch to decaf and take your Ambien. All right, so go from Algonquin or Algonquin down to Aurora, west to DeKalb. There's an opportunity. I received two leads, one a purchase for $200,000 and one a sale for $315 yesterday that I'm looking for a realtor for the show that handles that area. Give me a call at call me on my cell phone, 773-456-6526. Sure. And don't send any inappropriate pictures. Pete McMurray, stop sending me pictures. 773-456-6526.
David Hochberg, nice to see you. For all things David Hochberg, go to what?
You could go to, it's very simple, go to 56David. You could also go to WGN David, and you could call 855-56David 24 hours a day. No, 24 hours, yeah, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm all excited. I forgot that. So 855-56David, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And thank you for having me on. Thank you, Bill and Wendy, for having me on last week.
And good luck with your back.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. Bill and Wendy are here, and hope you appreciate the cameo tribute.
That was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's super Joe.
I felt like I was at a show.
And you remember the words. I mean, they don't write them like that anymore. Company, maybe around the world. I mean, they don't write them like that anymore.
Listen how pretty this is.
You know, Bill always wears a hat, but he has the same haircut.
Yeah.
Oh, remember the hats?
Yeah. And then in the summer, I switched to my Kid and Play haircut.
Which is fantastic.
Which is a,
you like
just
that?
A bigger cameo.
Yeah, it's a little bigger. Yeah.
Such a hot look.
Yeah, well, thank you.
That really is.
Yeah. You put the kid in Kid and Play.
Thanks, one. That's nice.
What are you guys doing today?
David Hochberg's evil twin, Kip Hochberg, will be with us.
Kip Hochberg's coming.
Yeah, we got him coming in.
Now, is he the nice Hochberg? He's the low-key one, the one that doesn't yell?
Yes, that's how you can tell him apart. He's very even-keeled.
They look exactly
alike.
He says
Algonquin.
That's how we know him
David
apart.
David says Algonquin.
Right.
How odd that David would have a twin brother named Kip.
Isn't that a strange name combination?
Strange.
I don't get
it. Strange. Very strange. Wendy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah? Anything new with you guys? Anything you want to share with the class? You want to keep it for your own show, possibly? Or?
Well, Wendy has a plot to fool her family that she will divulge on the air.
I plan to fool you first.
I will be fooled and her family will be fooled.
Does this involve leaving town with a handsome foreigner?
No, that wouldn't fool them. They'd expect that.
Most of Wendy's plots involve that.
Yeah. You remember what George W. Bush said? The president said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. You're not going to get fooled again.
It's almost a direct quote.
Right.
Yeah.
God, I miss him sometimes.
So, Bill, leave us with some parting words of wisdom.
Stay in school.
All right. There stay in school. It seems right. Wendy.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago.
It just occurred to me that all the people that would apply to are already
They're
in school. Yeah, they didn't
I
hear
wasted
it.
My words of wisdom.
You have words of wisdom?
Your words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom.
How about stay at work? Until it's the end of the day.
Don't be a jerk. Stay at work.
Don't be a jerk. Stay at work until you go home.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
That's Wally spinning.